Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Do you still believe in Bryce as a future, maybe franchise quarterback later on down the
road? Absolutely. This is a developmentally minded program, so the development didn't stop. You know, every rep he's out there, we're evaluating the whole thing, having conversations, and just continuing to push all of our guys, including Bryce, to take that next step. Every day is a growth possibility and opportunity, so we're fully committed to that.
That was Dave Canales, the head coach of the Carolina Panthers. I've watched a couple of his press conferences.
Yeah.
And this guy looks like he's in a little over his head. That's my assessment so far. I don't know that this is the guy equipped to tame David Tepper at all and actually operate Carolina like a real NFL football team.
You know what's funny is I always think of the guy that I think made a good career decision in going to a really weird and dysfunctional place as a young coach was Lane Kiffin when he went to the Raiders.
Yeah.
Because that caught everybody by surprise that, oh my gosh, they hired this young kid. But I think Lane Kiffin had the personality to where, he was not going to back down to Al Davis one bit. That's one of the things Al Davis admired about him, I think. But ultimately, you know, those two personalities were not going to coexist. But also, I think Lane Kiffin knew that nobody was going to blame Lane Kiffin for it not working out if he goes there as a young head coach. I don't think Canales has that same attitude.
No.
I don't think he's as brash as a Lane Kiffin. You got to have a certain intestinal fortitude, and I just don't know if Canales is that guy.
That's funny. You know what? Like that, boy. If you happen to be listening and you're part of the media contingent that covers Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss, it would be a fascinating question because I'm just looking at Lane Kiffin's Pro Football Reference profile here. Yeah. He was the coach of the Raiders for 2 years in 2007, and really just one and change. Like he coached there in 2007. They went 4-12 with Jamarcus Russell as the starting quarterback. And then in 2008, he got fired 4 games into the season, again, with Jamarcus Russell as his quarterback. Lane Kiffin probably has fantastic takes on dysfunctional ownership and really crappy number one overall draft picks. Plus he coached against Bryce Young.
Right. Well, and the other thing, too, I always have to point out is, like, as weird as the Raiders were, John Gruden came after Lane Kiffin with the Raiders. So it's not like it was an unsalvageable situation or anything. Lane Kiffin could have done better himself, I'm sure. I don't know if Lane's all that self-reflective or not, but I do think that when you go into a situation like that, you almost got to say, listen, I'm going to stick by my principles and what I think is right, and if it gets ugly, it gets ugly. Yeah. That's just how it is. But I can't sit here and kowtow to the billionaire, you know, basically who's just – it's Brewster's millions when it comes to those guys knowing what they're doing as a football coach. So – or as a football owner, that you just got to stand by and you got to be ready. And maybe Canales is not that guy. But I also do think Bryce Young, like, he does some Will Levis stupid stuff on the football field, including the hit he took at the end of that game where he's got his eyes downfield while somebody's bearing into him, and he didn't even get the pass off because the S2 cognition test is really good at diagnosing how well somebody tracks moving objects.
Yeah.
But apparently the 240-pound linebacker right in front of you is not assessed by the S2 cognition
test. Yeah, that wasn't part of the test.
As he presses your spleen into the back of your spine, he doesn't know exactly how to handle that.
Not part of the test. And by the way,
so Canales might have, after that game, been like, all right, this guy's going to get killed if we don't teach him
some
things.
Maybe. Paul Feinbaum, who is part of ESPN's team covering college football, dialed in almost exclusively on the SEC, so he watched every snap of Bryce Young's college career at Alabama. He said, Carolina screwed this kid up.
There's no way to sugarcoat his performance has been miserable, but I blame the management of that franchise. Greeny, I always thought Daniel Snyder was the worst owner in modern NFL history. Well, he's being rivaled by David Tepper. He has been a complete and total bust in Carolina. I live down there, so I've watched it up close. Bryce has not been given a fair chance. I think it really is embarrassing and disgraceful for what they have done to him. And quite frankly, I think if you brought Patrick Mahomes into this franchise, Tom Brady or Peyton Manning, as rookies, the Carolina Panthers would have screwed them up just as well as they did to poor Bryce Young. I feel sorry for the young man.
Okay, two things can be true. Bryce Young, like the probability-wise, most quarterbacks are busts these days.
Yeah.
The vast majority of number one overall picks or top quarterbacks taken just flat out don't work out. So two things can be true. Bryce Young can potentially maybe not be a good NFL quarterback, but also he's in the worst possible place that he could be as a bad young NFL quarterback.
Yep.
So there's just no way to know. I do think I don't really take a lot of, like, when Feinbaum or any other exclusively college person weighs in the NFL, they have no clue.
Right.
They don't. It's like these college football fans when they try to insist that their quarterback is a pro prospect. And you watch the college game, you're like, oh my
God. Yeah, not a pro prospect. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, 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 no. So I don't, no, Feinbaum. You're not allowed to weigh in on this.
Here's Baker Mayfield. He was asked about this yesterday. Baker Mayfield, former number one overall pick, who it took three more stops for him to get to where now he's back to being a good starting quarterback in the NFL. He says Bryce will be back.
Quarterback's hard, especially for young guys, when you're not surrounded with the pieces that, you know, not given the opportunity to have success. And so that's a lot of the time guys have the talent, they might have the brains, but they don't have the right opportunity, the right fit. I mean, I'm sitting here right now in a way better fit than the other places I've been. And that's not to put other teams down, but it's a matter of the pieces around you, the coaches, and for Bryce, a guy that, you know, I can relate to this, finding that belief within yourself again, and he'll get it. His story's far, far from finished.
You think
so, Baker? Oh, go ahead.
You think? Oh no, I'm listening to Baker, and I'm trying to figure out what my prediction is for what eventually happened. Like, does Bryce Young have this redemption story like Baker does, or Geno Smith?
I think it's very possible. Yeah. I do think that, look, everything Baker Mayfield said is 100% true, you know, other than his prediction. You don't know if that's true or not. Right. So, yeah, there's still positive things about Bryce Young.
Yep.
I think that when it comes to the Carolina mismanagement side of it, I don't think they did things any differently than a lot of teams have done in recent years, which is they wanted to elevate him as quickly as possible and make him the guy without having him earn it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen that trend that's starting to reverse itself now over the course of the past decade or so, where people say, well, nope, you got to play him right away because they're immediately, that's why you drafted him. I don't know, man. Defenses have evolved. The offenses had pulled ahead for a little while, well, they incorporated some of the more spread elements and it was easier to play quarterback, but defenses have evolved. And what college quarterbacks are thrust into right now is a completely different world than it was in, say, 2010 or so.
Yeah.
And I think that you just won't know until he gets into an actual functional situation whether he's actually a viable quarterback or not.
It's so wild. With the TV on in here, the debate shows right now. Like, Mel Kiper is on ESPN right now, campaigning for the NFL to ban too high safety looks. I'm guessing because passing is way down the first 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to bring the safeties up closer to the box, you know, so you can.
So he wants them to ban cover two?
I don't have the audio on in here. I'm busy doing a show with you. But yes, the caption is the NFL needs to ban too high safety look, like the too deep safety back look.
That must be
the Texans probably get a ton of, so that CJ doesn't burn them deep. Yeah,
I have to guess that he's just saying that, you know, by way of making a point or something.
I don't know. It's a direct quote, and he sure is looking Kiper-y right now on TV. He looks pretty adamant right now.
There's things like, honestly, there's things that the college. One of the biggest differences, again, when you go back to people not understanding why their quarterbacks are so good in college and then aren't good in the NFL, the hash marks make a really, really, really big difference.
They do.
The fact that the hash marks are wider in college makes it a lot easier to get open wide receivers because there's more space to defend on the field side. And it is one of the harder things about a quarterback moving to the NFL. It's not just the better athletes. It's that you're thrown into a more compressed space all the time. And, I've always thought, man, if a quarterback is such a premium and you like good quarterback play, just widen the hashes in the NFL.
Hey, real quick, now up on the screen, quotes from Micah Parsons on Cowboys expectations. Quote, not having everyone wanting it as bad as you do, that kind of hurts the most. End quote. And we wonder why he didn't get a contract extension this offseason.
That's a classic. Well, kind of like what Aaron Rodgers was doing with the Jets when he was injured, and he was saying, we need to keep all of this stuff in-house while calling out specific people on on national television.
Well, I'm like, on a McAfee show for an hour every week.
I don't understand. Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, we gotta want, everybody's gotta want it as much as me. I say, as I do one of the most selfish thing, which is throwing teammates under the bus.
Yeah.
But I'm saying it publicly. That's what Micah Parsons is doing.
That's unbelievable. All right, so CJ mic'd up was awesome this week. The interaction with Caleb Williams is getting the most attention. The thing that's getting the second most attention is something I actually wish CJ would not do. CJ should give Caleb Williams advice all you want. This thing I wish he would not do. We'll talk about that coming up next.